His face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A link with last Sunday, when we were in the desert, tempted with Christ, St. Gregory Nazianzen, May 9th, if you're memorizing feast days, a monk, a poet, a great doctor of the church, was Bishop of Constantinople, the empire's capital, when every church, as today, was in the hands of the heretics, and he had to hold Mass and preach in a private home, but he converted the city. Well, this is what he said last Sunday to the devil. Strong in our baptism, each of us can say, I too am made in the image of God, but unlike you, O Satan, I have not yet become an outcast from heaven through my pride. I have put on Christ. By my baptism, I have become one with him. It is you that should fall prostrate before me. By these words, he can only surrender and retire in shame, the devil, as he retreated from Christ, the light of the world, so will he depart from those illumined by that light. Christ, the light of the world, and we illumined by that light. A bright cloud today enfolds the apostles. In one flash of that light, say the Armenians, terrified them. But thou, O Virgin Mother, didst hold the burning flame of divinity in all its fullness. The devil is all darkness through pride, and Mary is exalted to the heights through humility, and she shines with Christ's light. Our Lady loves to be saluted, you know, as Mary, most holy, Mother of Light. Dante, the poet, says that no mother so resembled her son, nor son his mother, as did Mary and Jesus. No wonder at the Vespers for the Immaculate Conception, the church can say, thy garments are white as snow, thy face like the sun. It's as though those words were taken from today's gospel. Jesus' face shone as the sun first, so that his mother might be so bright, and his garments white as snow. He was seen on the mountain, and Our Lady so often on the mountain, but sometimes in the valley or the meadow, but always with light. 100 years ago in Portugal, at the Covaderia, the children saw a lady dressed in white, more brilliant than the sun, shedding rays of light, clearer and stronger than a crystal glass filled with the most sparkling water, pierced by the burning rays of the sun. Our Lady said she would return to ask for reparation, the first Saturdays we've been doing, for offenses aimed directly at her. The first, and perhaps the greatest, blasphemy is that against her Immaculate Conception. This doctrine is the constant faith of the church since Gabriel cried out on bended knee, Kyrie, kekaritomine. That's the Greek of St. Luke. Hail, grace-filled one. Hail, full of grace. And ever since then, Christians over the centuries have plumbed the depths and measured the heights of this glorious title, Immaculate, full of grace. It's denied by darkness, and it's derided by what one writer calls the philosophy of pride. Bishop Sanborn referred to them recently as the bird-brained philosophers of modern times. But Our Lady is always coming with her light into our times as it lures. And for this, little Bernadette came back and back 18 times to see her, and so often asking, "Who are you?" Until finally she vouchsafed, "I am the Immaculate Conception." The Greeks, from time immemorial, have kept this feast and outdone each other in the praise of the Immaculate One, the saint from Syria, Saint Ephrem, wrote, "All pure, all immaculate, all stainless, spotless robe of him who clothes himself with light, as with a garment, my lady most holy, alone most immaculate." In the West, the Irish were the first, of course, to keep this feast more than 1,000 years before the Holy Father Pius IX infallibly proclaimed the doctrine that the Most Blessed Virgin Mary was, from the first moment of her conception, by a singular grace and privilege of Almighty God, and by virtue of the merits of Jesus Christ, Savior of the human race, preserved immune from all stain of sin. So said he so solemnly in 1854. One writer says, original sin, that's the hole in the soul where the life of God was originally intended to be. The fallen angel, whom the Virgin was destined to crush under her heel, was the first to oppose this glorious prerogative of the new Eve of Mary. But of course, Our Lady herself told us something about him in her Magnificat, our Vesper, our evening prayer. It's very pleasing to Our Lady for us to say it, and very powerful to banish the devil. Because right in there, Mary says, "He hath put down the powerful from their seat." That refers to Lucifer and the fallen angels being driven down into hell by great Michael. He cannot bear this title, Immaculate One, and all that it means. Now let us go from angels to men. Among men, the doctrine of the perpetual virginity of Mary, we saw last week, that's forgotten. But when it comes close to December 8th, there's always someone to mistake the Immaculate Conception for the virgin birth. But that is an ignorance inexcusable in a Catholic. But there's worse. There are those who doubt and deny and even blaspheme the Immaculate Conception, or who make it out that Mary was not created in the perfect image of her Son, and throw up all sorts of difficulties, supposed scriptural contradictions or theological arguments. Ours is a Protestant or a post-Protestant culture in America, and it is still common for non-Catholics to consider that the sinlessness of Mary is, well, that's a late corruption of Bible teaching, plain scriptural truth, one of those things, you know, from the Dark Ages, and Mary must be put in her place. She just happened to be the mother of Jesus, and she's as sinful as anybody else. Thus, there, blasphemy. Now, the Novus Ordo modernists wink at the doctrine, even as they still keep a version of the Holy Day, because they diminish or they dismiss, well, first of all, they went after original sin. And now they're pretty much finishing off actual sin. The post-Christians, as usual, don't even know what we're talking about, but that does not stop them from mockery and sacrilege. That was at a Mardi Gras recently in Spain, a horrible production. And the other day in Bergoglio's Argentina, for the celebration of International Women's Day, something else like that took place in front of one of the cathedrals. It seems that the formerly Catholic Spanish world now produces the most vile attacks upon Our Lady. And to think they were once her children. You know, when the Spanish go to confession, they don't say anything to start. The priest does. When you come in, the priest will say, Ave Maria Purissima. And then the penitent answers, Sin pecado concepida. Hail, most pure Mary, the answer, conceived without sin. Her heart must be terribly wounded by this behavior on the part of those who were once the children of her predilection. So you could say, well, Protestants, yes. We've already seen how hopeless is their religious system. But those who were born and still live in a Catholic, culturally Catholic country, once her children, to fling this blasphemy in her face, you see why she asks for reparation. And we lovingly offer it to her, but also, for those of good faith, a reconciliation of seemingly opposed scriptural truths. I mean, St. Paul writes to the Romans, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Gabriel says in his greeting to Mary in Luke that she is full of grace, and this has been the constant faith of the church. God forbid that St. Paul, we've seen that he is a child of Mary too, should ever oppose this doctrine. No, it's a question of interpretation and of authority. A seeming contradiction, but remember, our faith is full of paradoxes, which faith alone can resolve. St. Paul proclaims that the general rule, but if you were to take that generality literally, it would mean that Jesus, who is after all true man, was born with original sin in his soul. He was not, nor was Mary. Well, what about her need for a redeemer? Her need to be saved? It was even greater, says the Franciscan Duns Scotus, who was no dunce himself. It was even greater than for anyone else, for she had to have not the slightest taint of sin on her soul for an instant. In the light of our faith, on the mountain with Mary and Jesus, see and admire how the divine doctor, Dr. Jesus, works. What does a doctor do? A good doctor saves from sickness, not only by curing the sickness, but also by preventing it. And so when it comes to his mother, Mary was prevented from contracting original sin from the very first moment of her conception. And that by the power of the blood of Jesus, by his foreseen merits, by his death. Did any son ever love his mother more than that he should have died for her perfection? Can you be satisfied with loving her any less? Look in the light of faith at the mountain as Mass continues, the altar of the Mass, the blood consecrated and offered at this Mass, what a thought, is the same blood which preserved Mary from all stain of sin. And she will, as your mother, apply the blood of the Lamb to your own soul, to cure you of yours, and more, to clothe you again with the bright robe of your baptism, now white as snow. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.